is not information or knowledge or theory. When you are there, you will know how to describe them. So take time slowly, because you come from that conditioning. So it is very normal for you to have that type of doubt and approach. And that is what normal Buddhists start with. They always want to look for what is commonly accepted or agreed to and practiced by people. But the ultimate realization and understanding is the complete opposite of what people understand and do. That's why it's called awakening, a realization. It's not a knowledge that you acquire through memory, through reading, through committing to memory. Those who just came in, you have not received the book, Emptiness, you can collect it in front here also. That is a new book, Emptiness. Okay, we got another 5 minutes to go. Then after that, today we can have a very special puja. Because last night, or yesterday, was Kuan Yin Tan. You know what is Kuan Yin Tan? It's supposed to be an auspicious Kuan Yin Day that marked the birth of Kuan Yin, if I'm not wrong. This one is birth. Yeah. Oh, this is enlightenment. The birth earlier on, that we have gone through. This is the enlightenment. So there are three dates. Birth, enlightenment, and parinibbana. So today we will celebrate, even though the actual day was yesterday, because our Tuesday class is today. So those who have sensitive nose, you come in, did you smell something? Did you smell anything? 很香哦，挂了，不用紧啦，放那个tree啊，杀掉。 You all can rejoice with all this offering. This one, our Kayanamita, through Kayanamita Fund, we have actually got them to help us to prepare all this. They came about 3 something. So they got all this ready for us. So we should rejoice. Oh, Stephanie is not here yet. Must remember to get her to reimburse you. Ah, 放在那个红色的 tray 上面. Put on top of the red tray. Yeah. We got another 6 minutes. Oh, Hui Rong, since you have 2 recorders. Oh, that's very good. Just in case, one of them memory full or what. Last Tuesday, we didn't manage to record because the memory was full. So sometimes these things do happen. But luckily, it happened last Tuesday. So this Tuesday, at least, we make sure one of them at least is recorded. So we should thank Sister Hui Rong, Stephanie, they all for their kind effort to actually ensure all this. We still got another 5 minutes to go. Anybody got any question? Just now Susan asked a very good question regarding the Dhamma. This purple book is our latest transcript on emptiness. It was based on a Klang talk that I had in the year 2014, I think last end of last year. 3rd October 2014, based on a talk that I delivered at Tiratana MBC Center. And because the talk came out very beautifully, so if I'm not wrong, Sister Padmasuri volunteered to do up the transcript. That's how the book has its condition to arise. And it is a very, very unique book. So if you have the time, please read through and develop the clear understanding. If you can listen to the recording, it will be better, because the way the Dhamma is being presented, the emphasis, when you listen to the talk, you will develop the clearer understanding. Yeah. Ah, Stephanie is here. Yeah. So today you remember, reimburse Susan Padmasuri and Alicia Dale. So they have done up a very good offering set up. All the fruits, the flowers, including the garland. Then also the flower arrangement. Maybe we can get Susan Padmasuri, the daughter, Alicia, and my wife come and like. Today got 5 items to like. Come. Kill it. We are 6 of us went for dinner, excluding me, 5 of you. Come. Okay, come. While they like, you all should reason. Oh, Paul, I haven't done, Okay, my wife say, give Polai a chance. Where is this candle? Huh? They say got candle? Never mind, then put another one here. Come, Polai, light. Oh, naga lighter. Hui yong wa. 你点这个香，萨德，萨德，萨德，萨德，萨德，萨德。 Come, Padmasuri, Susan, come. Girl, come. Candle, small candle. Then Susan, the red candle. Or purple candle. Sadhu. Lai, Alicia. Okay, you all can stand up, get there, then we can start our puja. Yeah, you offer the tray. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Yeah, but you come. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Ah, yes. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. sadhu, 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 is okay, roll it, rabbit behind, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Take the top part and top part and top part. Take the top part. Don't need to take the bass. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 That one also, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 At the back, at the back, at the back. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. No, no, no. Here, put behind here. Put behind there. The pineapple, put in front a bit. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That one can put here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will now offer this flower. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. All the garland. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. Then we can... you can be seated. Then we will start our puja chanting. Since today is a very auspicious day to commemorate Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's Enlightenment Day, we will recite the usual traditional salutation. We will start with the Mahayana chanting. Namo Bansi Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Okay, we will chant the salutation to the Triple Gem. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we turn to page 4 of our chanting book. We will start our official puja chanting. We will chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Amesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majjhapamadatana Ramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Okay, we will now chant the Patipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna Sarapaditena Dipena Tamang Dangsena Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang Ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina puja ye puja niyang tang puja bacana muttamang vanna ganda gono petang etang kasuma santati Pujayami Munindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kasumena Nena Pannena Mathena Cha Hotu Mokhang Pupang Milayati Yatta Idang Me Kayo tathayati vinasabhavang Adivasetu nobante Aniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaye Patigan hatu muttamang Ketantu, page 18, we will do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of Adana Parami of generosity, and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas, sharing and transform merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will chant the salutation to the Triple Gem before we continue with our next program. Buddhang pujami, Dhammang pujami, Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Eh? So tonight we are going to chant the Heart Sutta and also the Great Compassionate Mantra. Eh? Sadhu. Okay, Padmasuri will help to lead. Eh? Then those who can still remember how to chant. Eh? Somebody help her. Anybody? Sue. Song. Come. Brother Song. Yeah. 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 I think again,
Shulu, shulu, puti ye, puti ye, พุทโธเยพุทโธเย
อิติ
ลิเยนะไลจินสุติลิสะนินะปะเยมะไนสะโพหะสิตโตเยสะโพหะโมหะสิตโตเยสะโพหะสิตโตวิสสภานะยะสัพโพหะนะไลจินสิสัพโพหะโมไลนะไลสัพโพหะสีไลสัมอโมเจยะสัพโพหะสัพโพโมหะกะสิตโตเยสัพโพหะเจติไลอาสิตโตเยสัพโพหะปุถุโมเจสิตโตเยสัพโพหะนะไลจินสิปัญเจไลเยสัพโพหะปุพโพลิสัจเจไลเยสัพโพหะนะโมหะไลตัณณัยโตไลเยนะโมอะริยะปุรุเจติสัพพะไลยะสัพโพหะอนสิเตนโตมันโตไลปัตตุยะสัพโพหะนะโมหะไลตันนายโตไลยะนะโมอะริยะปุรุเจติสัพพะไลยะสุตมังสัตโตโพเยโมหะสัตโตโพเยโมหะจารุนิจายะอันสัพพันไลปายะสุตตานังอันสินะโมสิจิลิตัวเยมะอะริยะปุรุเจติสัพโพไลลัมโตโพนะโมนะไลจินสิสีลิโมหะปันโตสามิสุภโพหะโตโตสุภะอัสสยัญสัพโพสัตโตนะโมโพสัตโตนะโมโพเจโมภะทะโตตันจิตาอนโอปุรุสิรูจาติจารุติสิลิโมหะพุทธิสัตโตสัพโพสัพโพโมไลโมไลโมสิโมสิลิโตเยนเจโลเจโลเจมังตุโลตุโลปัสสยะติโมหะปัสสยะติตัวไลตัวไลติลิณิสัพโพไลเยสไลเสไลโมโมฟาโมไลมุติลิอิสิอิสิสนายสนายอไลเสนโปไลเสลิปัสสาปัสสนโปไลเสยะหุลุหุลุโมไลหุลุหุลุสิลิสไลสไลสิลิสิลิสุลุสุลุปุทธิเยปุทธิเยพุทโธเยพุทโธเยมิติลิเยนะไลจินสิติลิสะนินะปุเยโมนะสัพโพหะสิตโตเยสัพโพหะโมหะสิตโตเยสัพโพหะสิตโตวิยิสะปัญญาเยสัพโพหะนะโมจินสิสัพโพหะโมปลายนาไลสัพโพหะสีไลสันอาโมเจเยสัพโพหะสัพโพโมหะอาทิตโตเยสัพโพหะ 遮起来阿悉陀耶萨婆诃波陀摩揭悉陀耶萨婆诃那来金翅般揭来耶萨婆诃波婆离僧揭来耶萨婆诃南摩诃来登乃多来耶耶南无阿利耶波罗揭谛色般若耶萨婆诃安悉殿多般多来跋陀耶萨婆诃南无阿赖耶乃多来耶耶南无阿利耶
波罗
揭谛色般若耶菩提萨埵婆耶摩诃萨埵婆耶摩诃迦卢尼迦耶安萨般赖法耶苏达那旦悉南摩悉吉利多依蒙阿利耶波罗揭谛色波罗僧多婆南无那赖谨墀悉利摩诃般多萨埵萨婆诃他都输婆阿斯云萨婆萨埵南无婆萨埵南无婆伽摩巴诃埵耽姿他唵阿婆卢悉卢迦帝迦卢帝依悉利摩诃菩提萨埵萨婆萨婆摩来摩来摩悉摩悉利多云觉卢觉卢伽摩诸卢诸卢伐奢耶帝摩诃伐奢耶帝哆来哆来帝利尼奢佛来耶遮来遮来摩摩伐摩来地利依悉依悉舍奈舍奈阿赖僧波赖舍利伐沙伐僧波赖舍耶呼噜呼噜摩赖呼噜呼噜悉利娑赖娑赖悉利悉利苏噜苏噜菩提耶菩提耶菩陀耶菩陀耶弥帝利耶那赖谨墀帝利舍利奈婆耶摩奈萨婆诃悉陀耶萨婆诃摩诃悉陀耶萨婆诃悉陀喻夷色婆赖耶萨婆诃那赖谨墀萨婆诃摩赖那赖萨婆诃悉赖僧阿穆揭耶萨婆诃萨婆摩诃阿悉陀耶萨婆诃遮吉拉阿悉陀耶萨婆诃波陀摩揭悉陀耶萨婆诃那赖谨墀般揭赖耶萨婆诃摩婆离僧揭赖耶萨婆诃南无阿赖耽乃多赖耶耶南无阿利耶波罗揭谛色婆赖耶萨婆诃耽悉殿多曼多赖跋陀耶萨婆揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃 揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃观自在菩萨心生般若波罗蜜多时照见五蕴皆空度一切苦厄舍利子色不异空空不异色色即是空即是色受想行识亦复如是舍利子诸法空相不生不灭不垢不净不增不减是苦空中无色无受想行无眼耳鼻舌身意无色声香味触法无眼界乃至无意识界无名义无名境乃至无老死亦无老死尽无苦集灭道无智亦无得亦无娑婆苦菩提萨埵波罗蜜多故心无挂碍无挂碍故无有恐怖远离颠倒梦想究竟涅槃三世诸佛耶胡罗波罗蜜多故得阿耨多罗妙善菩提四十萨埵波罗蜜多是大神咒大明咒是无上咒是无等等咒能除一切苦所以如是波罗波罗蜜多咒即说咒曰揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃观自在菩萨心生般若波罗蜜多时照见五蕴皆空度一切苦厄舍利子，色不异空，空不异是色，即是空，即是色。受想行识亦复如是。舍利子，诸法空相，无生不灭，不垢不净。不增不减是苦空中无色无受想行识无眼耳鼻舌身意
不舍身相为诸法，无眼界乃至无意识界，无明亦无明尽，乃至无老死亦无老死尽，无苦集集灭道无自意，无得已无所得故，菩提萨埵波罗蜜多苦心无挂碍，无挂碍无有宏图，远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃三世诸佛耶波罗波罗蜜多苦得。妙善菩提苦子波罗波罗蜜多，四大神咒，四大明咒，四无上咒，四无等等咒，能除一切苦。虽如说波罗波罗蜜多咒，悉说咒也。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨埵，谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨埵的，谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨埵，观自在菩萨，心生般若波罗蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄。色不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即色，受想行识亦复如是，色离智，是法空相，出生不灭，不垢不净，真不见，是苦空中无色无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舌身意，无色声香味触法，无眼界乃至无意识界，无明亦无明尽，乃至无老死亦无老死尽，无苦集灭道无自意，无得已故，菩提萨埵耶波罗蜜多苦心无挂碍，无挂碍无苦，苦有空无，远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃三世诸佛耶波罗波罗蜜多苦得，阿耨多罗妙善菩提苦子波罗波罗蜜多时，神咒是大明咒，是无上咒，等咒能除一切苦，真实不虚，不虚波罗波罗蜜多咒，即说咒也。谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨埵，揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧， 揭谛菩提萨埵诃，谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay our homage to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Then after that, we will start our meditation. Namo Kuan Sing Pusa. Namo Kuan Sing Pusa. Namo Kuan Sing Pusa. Okay, we will pay respect 3 times.Okay. Thank you so much for helping out in all this chanting. So now we can have our meditation. Maybe we'll have 15 minutes. So today is, like I said, a very auspicious day. It is they call it Kuan Yin's Enlightenment Day. The actual day was yesterday, but we did it today because it is our Tuesday Puja offering. So we will develop the faith, Sada, Virya, then we will chant mindfully, then we pay respect mindfully. This is to express our gratitude towards Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. To thank her for all her nature's blessing, protection and guidance all this while. And once again, we would like to make full use of this condition to request Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, her nature, to again continuously bless, protect and guide all our nature. So that in future, whenever we choose to come or have to come, this aggregate of form and mind, by aggregate of form and mind, will be continuously protected, guided and blessed. Okay, now you can start your meditation. For those who are new, maybe you just relax body and mind. Then if you have read through the book, you can train your mind according to your requirement. If you still have mental hindrance, you need to decondition the heedless thinking. Then you can start off with mind sweeping method, followed by metta, loving kindness. Then after that, stabilize the silent mind or mindfulness with anapanasati or any skillful means that you feel you have affinity with. Then after that, for those who already know how to meditate, you just silence your mind, relax everything, then maintain awareness within all of the mental activity that arise within your six sendal. The silent mind will come to understand them clearly. So you only need to relax, maintain awareness, then silent within. Then develop the clear understanding of everything that arises. When you are able to stabilize this mindfulness leading to pasati, that is what you need to train. After anapanasati is developed, piti will arise. When your mind has sati, piti will arise. Then when piti arises, you continue to relax into it so that it will become more refined and transform into what they call sukha. Sukha is spiritual bliss.
from sukha, if you continue to relax and silent, it becomes positive, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. This is the mind that you need to meditate, to understand many, many things. So all of formal meditation training is to develop this paucity of silent mind. Continue to relax into it, silent, maintain awareness. Then develop clear understanding through this silent. For those who still cannot do it, it's okay. You just relax. Do whatever training that you need to do. Then after that, develop sati more and more until it's very stable. Okay, I'll leave it to you all to develop the meditation. I will ring the bell after 15 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. We will now do the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakha Mokkhalam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandhata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandhata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandhata Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Ica carana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Sata deva manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditadbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakkeneyo, Anuttaraniyo, Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to the Triple Jack. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay.
relax yourself, yeah? Then maintain some more attention. Yeah? For those who just came in, huh? There is this new transcript book, Emptiness, based on a Klang talk, yeah? The transcript. They are now ready for free distribution. Yeah? If you have not got a copy, yeah? You can collect a copy from us. In front of your seat, you should be able to find one. Huh? If you don't have, you can get it over there. Huh? There are still quite a number of copies. Yeah? Okay, tonight we will continue our second session. But before that, I think last Tuesday, huh, Sister Chui, she wanted me to discuss on our last Tuesday sharing, huh, by the Korean nun, huh, Sister Chikwang, Chikwang Sunyi. So she wanted me to do a review, and at the same time, I think she wanted me to explain some of the things that went on. Chui, you got any particular question or not? I cannot remember what was it that you asked me, but I remember we touched on jhana. Yes, now I recall. Thank you. So last Tuesday, you remember, Sister joins there. They have the good affinity, so they have the good condition to invite that Korean nun, Sister Chikwang Sunyi, I think. So she came over here for 10 days, I think. So they arranged a series of talk and sharing for her. So our Tuesday class, we had it last Tuesday. Then there was some Q&A towards the end. Then after she left, we had our usual snack and tea and discussion. Then Chui was with me. So that's how the discussion came about. Then from there, Chui said, why not, brother, till next Tuesday, we share this so that more people can develop understanding. So for those who have attended the talk, her topic was something like, I think the title is quite unique, not Buddha, not the know-what, and not mine, not Buddha. Then I better read. I don't know what is the title. Yeah, the title is Not Mine, Not Buddha, Not a Thing. Then Truth Knocks. But then it continues with, but we say, go away. Why? So anyway, that was the title and the topic. So after she finished, there were requests for question and answer. Then I think Chui helped out because she was telling us she don't know when to stop. And she was actually, before Chui asking the question, she said she was trying to kill time. So because of that, when I pointed out to Sister Mimi that Chui may have a question, then she was relieved. Then Chui asked some very good question. But after Chui asked, I remember she answered. Finally, the answer led to developing the training of the mind to develop jhana. Jhana. Then there's a sister at the back, I think Sister Barbara. She asked her, is it venerable, is jhana necessary for enlightenment? She answered in a way that is quite, I think, standard, in the sense that he know quite a number of them follow Ajahn Brahm.
So he said, if you are a student of Ajahn Brahm, you will think jhana is important and is a must. Then she somehow add in the word, according to her tradition, this may not be so. Then she said, the state before jhana, pre-jhana, is more important. Pre-jhana and post-jhana, they are more important. Then after that, Barbara asked again. He said, can you elaborate on what is pre-jhana? The way she answered, according to her understanding, she said, pre-jhana is a state, is it, where there is equanimity. Yeah? So this one, I leave it to you. I don't want to comment. So that was how she answered, because she said, this state of mind has equanimity and all those things. Yeah. So based on your understanding of what you have developed over the years, for those who have followed me for quite a while, what is your understanding? Yeah? What is your understanding? Is jhana required or not for enlightenment? What is your understanding? Yeah? We have gone through samatha, vipassana. Basically, if you go into jhana, your mind become absorbed into it, or concentrated, apana samadhi, which is the absorption, the very strong concentration that you build up through one-pointedness of mind. That's why the five jhanic factor, vitaka, vichara, then you have piti, sukha, then finally is ekagata, which is one-pointedness. So all the energy, they focus on one point. The mind that is in this state is very calm, very concentrated, full of energy field, very strong. And this is what the Buddha called a conditioned state. Conditioned state means because of the concentration, it conditioned the mind to be still, silent, one-pointedness. But such a mind is not a free mind. So you must have that understanding. So when they are in the state of concentration, what happens? Your mind is like no thought, because everything is killed into one point. Or if you go into absorption, you absorb your mind into it so that it cannot think. Everything becomes so still and so calm. So when that happens, the understanding is, according to the Buddha, the five hindrances of mind that develops the hindrance to prevent you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, they become suppressed. Understand that? They become suppressed. They got no chance of coming out. So that's why, according to her tradition, which is the Zen tradition in Korea, the teacher, they all knew this is not the way to liberation of mind. You cannot develop wisdom and understanding out of this. So they were told to go for pre-jhana. But what is pre-jhana? Yeah? After going through all this understanding that you had with us, or especially the clang talk that I gave, samatha vipassana. What is this pre-jhana mind? Upachara samadhi, yes, very good. So it's not a mind that is in equanimity, understand? A mind that is in equanimity can happen in two ways. When you are in jhana, the fourth jhana, yes, no thought, nothing. Then like nothing can disturb you because of the energy field, the concentration, the conditioned state of mind. The other one is when you have the enlightenment factor of equanimity, born of wisdom, born of understanding, born of penetrative understanding of the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and empty nature or non-self nature. When your mind develops this style of understanding, then it's capable of at peace with all things. That's why that is the equanimous mind, the awakened mind. But the pre-jhana mind is not like that. The pre-jhana mind is just like how I explained in the Klang talk, the book Samatha Vipassana. When you are in that state of upacara samadhi, means this type of samadhi is before you enter apana samadhi, before you enter the deep state of jhana, or absorption and concentration, before the energy field build up, you are at the threshold of apana jhana, means before you go into deep concentration, before you allow your mind to like lock in. So at that threshold, which is upacara samadhi, is continuous mindfulness and awareness, but the mind is not in absorption. The mind is not in concentration. It is still aware, but the awareness is stable, continuous. So that is a type of samadhi they call upacara samadhi. Maybe I explain a bit. Paramasuri, have to move that one. You see, there are three types of samadhi. You heard of? What are the three? First one is what? Very good. Three types of samadhi. The first one is Kanika Samadhi. Kanika. The second one is Upacara Samadhi, like what we have discussed. Last one is Apana. Apana is absorption. Apana Samadhi. So Kanika Samadhi, they used to translate it as momentary samadhi. Do you agree? What is momentary? Just for one moment only. Anasana. That one can never be samadhi. Anasana. Actually, what they are trying to describe is moment to moment samadhi. Anasana. But they fail to understand this word, because moment to moment and momentary are two different things. Anasana. Momentary is for a while only. Anasana. So moment to moment is like you are aware, then you aware, then you aware, then you aware. That one is moment to moment samadhi. If you can do that, not so bad. But this state is not stable enough for you to insight into phenomena, for you to develop the understanding of the Buddha Dharma. So there's like upacara samadhi is the in between. As you continuously develop this Kanika Samadhi, that's why in daily mindfulness, as you develop your ability to be mindful, even as your mindfulness build up from moment to moment, but you have not stabilized it, understand? That's why I always remind you all to stabilize that mindfulness, understand? But not through concentration, not through absorption. That's why you don't go into apana samadhi. If you go in, you can try it. You can find out. There are some people, they might have done it in their past. You don't worry. You let it happen, experience it, then remember to come out of it, release it. If you don't release it back to upacara samadhi, you can never develop the understanding of the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dharma. You know why or not? In this state of apana, like I described and explained to you just now, what happened to the five hindrances? They are all suppressed because of the energy field, because of the state of mind that is so focused and concentrated and absorbed. So this one, the five hindrances are suppressed. So there is no way you can know whether you already enlightened or not. You may have experienced those states. I use the word state, like you are enlightened. But you will never know because your hindrances are suppressed. And when the hindrances are suppressed, it's as if you are at peace. Nothing can disturb you. Your mind is very calm, very still. You can be in the state of equanimity. And all the Dhamma, like you understand. But these are all knowledge, not awakening, not through realization, not through the direct seeing. This one is when your mind is in the deep state of stillness and calmness. Then through your energy field, sometimes you develop all this psychic ability. Then through that, you develop certain type of meditation that focus and concentrate. Then it lead to a lot of other, what they call, experiences like nimitta, special meditative experience like what is described in the Surangama Sutta, Leng Yen Jing. The 50 deviant samadhi can arise and trap you. Sometimes you can enter the state of samadhi or jhana where your mind is so bright, even in dark at night when there is no light. But all of a sudden your mind, because of that ability, it like you can see everything like broad daylight. Then you may have psychic ability to read people's mind or to see past life and all these things. Then some can even perform the four element ability, like the wind element, they can levitate. Then earth element, they can go through wall and they can penetrate the ground. Then you got other type of element, heat element, water element. So like you have control over these elements. So if you want to create chi or energy, heat, you can. Then if you want to create forces born of water element, you can. So all this will lead you to the psychic field and you will debate. Then you will not be able to develop the understanding of life. You will not be able to penetrate the universal characteristics of all phenomena, especially the three characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state, and non-self. Then the last one is this state of mind. You cannot really, really develop the understanding because this is not a free mind. Understand not? So what you need is to release this apana samadhi back to upacara samadhi. When you are at upacara samadhi, you have continuous, very stable mindfulness, but your mind is a free mind. And at that time, the hindrances are not suppressed. The hindrances, they call the latent tendency or anusaya, they are actually still active within. But because there is no condition for them to come out earlier on because of the energy field, they are suppressed. So now when you release this apana samadhi energy field, you will reach a state of upacara samadhi. This one is the samadhi that make your mind collected and unwavering, but not in concentration. Means at every moment of sense experience, when you maintain this continuous mindfulness or upacara samadhi, then you can see things as they are. Means what? Because your mind is collected and unwavering. So every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel or think of something, this mind does not wobble, does not stir. That's why it can maintain that state of upacara samadhi to understand exactly what happened. That's why it can insight into phenomena and it can awaken. But when you are in the midst of daily life, when you are living life, you cannot maintain this upacara samadhi for long unless you already enlightened or awakened. This upacara samadhi, you will experience them off and on. Yeah. But as you continue to live life, what happens is, when you are out of upacara samadhi, you will experience sense object. You will experience all of the sense door consciousness that arise. But because your views, they are still wrong view, you have not straightened your view, you have not developed the awakening and the wisdom and the insight knowledges, you will come to realize that this mundane mind or condition arising mind, thinking mind, they still stir, they still react according to your views and opinion. That's why the moment you start to see all this, because you have upacara samadhi earlier on, then you can understand why when you are out of upacara samadhi into normal kanika samadhi or normal consciousness, this mundane mind that don't have the right understanding, right view, it will stir. It's only when it stirs and you are aware, because you develop sati, you will come to understand why it stirs. Just like the five hindrances, the mental hindrance, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. All this, the moment they arise, there are causes and conditions behind, just like the Buddha mentioned. And you will be able to understand what are the causes and conditions behind their arising. So the first category of Dhamma that you need to develop mindfulness on when you do the fourth foundation of mindfulness, which is Dhammanupassana, is mindfulness of the five hindrances. So if you silence your mind during daily mindfulness, then you start to witness the arising of this unarisen hindrance. Then you will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Then if you continue to silence and train your mind in upacara samadhi, then you realize it will cease to be. That is using the third way that the Buddha teach. You just aware, don't want to know, don't want to do anything, don't want to judge, don't want to stir, don't want to react. But that one is still without wisdom. That's why you have to go to the fourth way. The Buddha asks you to reflect, contemplate, and trace the origination factor. How does the hindrance that has arisen come to be? Like I always said, it is always from one of your sense doors. It only arises when there is lack of right view, when you still have your wrong views and opinions, views and opinions of things, when you cannot accept them for what they are, when you want things your way, when your conditioning, views and opinions are so strong. That's how the mind stir, the mind react. Let me finish this actually. Yeah. Then when you start to see all this, you will start to understand the origination factor. It's always from one of the sense doors, then it's always from your wrong view. Then you reflect and contemplate. If that is what is happening, what must I do? I have to straighten my view. I have to develop the understanding of how to see things as they are, accept them for what they are. So I need to develop upacara samadhi until I get insight into phenomena and liberate the mind to develop the wisdom to understand that these are all impermanent, lead to suffering. Because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can deludedly grasp, cling and hold. That's why you will come to the understanding that it is anatta, non-self, and also finally empty because of the first characteristics of impermanence. When you develop all this understanding, then you will know how to straighten your view. You will know how to see things as they are, accept them for what they are, because people are just the way they are, only mighty nature rolling by. Everything is condition arising, causal phenomena. He know you, he know me. So when you develop this penetrative insight, then this mind that has developed the understanding, the five aggregate of form and mind, is no longer deluded. Then what happens is, it will not stir anymore. That's why it will start to develop equanimity. It will start to develop the ability not to stir, react, and create duality. When this happens, the mind will start to slow down. The thinking will start to slow down because it will start to understand sankhara anicchang, sankhara dukkang, no point thinking. Thinking is actually the cause of suffering. You only arise the appropriate right thought when you need it to live life. That's it. Apart from that, you don't have to think. You don't go and carry all of your psychological problem within the thinking process. When you apply thought to deal with psychological problem, you will suffer. You will become miserable. Because psychological thought being egoic, when you use it to try to understand psychological thing, mental thing, it will create more and more suffering, more and more confusion, and you will attach and cling. So thought, which is mechanical, has its purpose. But if you don't understand the true purpose of thought, if the user of thought is deluded, then thought become wrong thought. And when the thought that arises is wrong thought, suffering will arise. It will condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, all of the negative state of selfishness, emotional negativity, fear, insecurity, etc. So this is how it is to be understood. So the explanation said that tell you that this pre-jhanic state of mind is already in a state of equanimity. It is not the case, understand? Equanimity need to develop through wisdom, the true equanimity, upeka. The other one is through jhana, which is apana samadhi. So this one, being hindrance being suppressed, you can never know, and you can never put it to test, you can never investigate. This one, it will give you problem later on when you grow old, when you are incapable of going into jhana, when you are incapable of developing the concentration, because you are no longer young. You cannot hold on to those energy field anymore. So during that time, they will experience the First Noble Truth reality. Then if they have not penetrated the characteristics of nature, the universal characteristics of all phenomena and nature, they will suffer. They will develop what they call attachment, clinging and grasping, thinking that this five aggregate form and mind is what they are, thinking that the feeling that arises is what they are. Means there is a person who feel, who perceive, who can come out with views and opinion, who can have all the what they call identity. Then you identify your own five aggregate form and mind as what you are, thinking that this person is real, is a permanent unchanging entity that you call so and so. And this is the person that can own thing, have thing, possess thing, desire thing. Then this is the one that go through old age, sickness and death. So all these delusions were set in. But if you have developed the wisdom earlier on, we are releasing this apana samadhi state back into upachara samadhi, then from there in daily life starts to see how you function as a human being, then finally penetrating the universal characteristic to understand clearly who you are, what you are. Then from there, you will understand life, the nature's law that governs life and existence, the law of dependent origination, how you function as a human being, then the law of karma, how things come to be. So all this, you will start to develop after you have penetrated the universal characteristic. Then you will have right view that will allow you to transcend life. Not only understand life, you will know how to live life, then life will no longer be an issue or problem. So this is how you should understand it. But what she explained is based on her tradition and what she has been told. That's why all this understanding, which is the essential Dhamma regarding the five hindrances, regarding the various state of mind that you need to develop so that you are not trapped in Apana Samadhi. So that the essential Dhamma that need to be understood can be applied in the cultivation. That in order to overcome the five hindrances, the Buddha said you don't have to fight them, don't have to suppress or control them. You only need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty. That's why all our puja, all our training, first turning, second turning, and third turning of the Four Noble Truths, is to develop all this spiritual faculty, even our puja chanting. We make aspiration. So that this five spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, they can be developed, stabilized, until they become powers. Then from there, it will automatically overcome the five hindrances. And this is how you develop the training of the mind to enter the meditative state of continuous awareness and mindfulness. But you will never go into Apana Samadhi. You will be in a state of heedfulness throughout the day. Heedfulness means ever mindful, to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. And that is what heedfulness is all about. Okay, now Chui, you can ask. Pass the mic to Chui. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I couldn't get from what the Venerable said, I couldn't connect all these parts,
correct. You know? The essential Dhamma, yeah.
But I have a silly question to ask you now.
No problem. Every question is a good question.
You talked about stirring.
Yeah.
Stirring to me has a negative thought.
Yes.
Feel, because you're talking about the thought process and all that, you know.
Yeah.
And then the
ego stirring is a reaction of mind, understand
not? But
if you don't react, the mind does not stir, understand
not? Is there such a thing as stirring with wisdom? You know, because you're like contemplating.
I know.
It's got to have some value, otherwise why would you want to stir?
I know. So you are asking that question, huh? Is there such a thing as stirring wisdom? Okay, sadhu. So at least, that is a good question. It's not a stupid question. Because many people may not understand. Then, of course, in your present state of understanding, you will want to have that type of understanding. Is there such a thing as stirring with wisdom? When I say stir means what? Like you stir something in it. Means you disturb the peace. Understand? It's just like a cup of water. Let's say warm water. You want to make coffee. Understand? So what you do? You put in sugar. You put in coffee powder. Then you stir. We are last time no coffee machine. So you stir. Stir means what? To mix the thing. Well, this one you can say you stir with wisdom. But when it comes to cultivation, there is no such thing as you stir with wisdom. The moment you stir means there is no equanimity. Here, our usage of word is in another context. Stir means it's a reaction. A reaction. That's why when you see something, if you don't like, what happens? You reject it. There is aversion. There is dislike. Then the mind react or stir, become emotional. Like somebody you don't like. Suddenly you see him, you recall to memory what he has done to you. So there is this unhappiness toward him. You become emotional again. Or sometimes you develop fear, phobia, because last time he might have abused you, understand now? Or did certain thing that harm you in a very traumatic way. So all this can bring about what they call fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, or emotional negativity. So this is what stirring means when I use it in that context. But if you want to use it as a cultivator who already had the wisdom, like you purposely stir your mind to show that person that you mean business, understand? Like sometimes your kid, they don't listen to you there. But that one you must have a lot of wisdom, understanding. You know? The moment you arise your voice, raise your voice means what? You make sure you have the wisdom, you are not angry. You know? Say, boy, enough. Don't do that. But most of them will have the anger. You know? So it's very dangerous before you are awakened to try not to develop the stirring of the mind without anger. Because if you don't have the understanding, you cannot do it. But if you have the understanding, you can do it with a lot of mindfulness, but you will never stir like before. Stir means what? You react straight away, you know. Here, you hit fully with mindfulness, you will not react like. You will be very stern. Okay? That's it? Please, put down. So it's a totally different way of approaching it. It's not a stirring, it's not a reaction. So cultivation, when you develop the understanding and the awakening, the form and mind that awaken will understand. It will know what to do. It will be incapable of certain things already. Because when the hindrance is no more, when the spiritual faculties are very strong, very stable, until they become like power, ballast, then most of the time your sadha, virya, sati, samadhi is very stable. And because you also have the wisdom, panya, you are not deluded by anything. You can see things as they are. You can accept the reality of the moment, the whatever reaction from the world. Means people are just the way they are. The world is the world. Things are just the way they are. You will have this understanding. Then you can be at peace with all this situation. So regarding your question, my answer is still the same. If you are not awakened yet, you cannot do it. There is no such thing as like stirring with wisdom. But the person who is awakened, they will not stir. They will be very mindful, very careful, and they will know how to execute it. So it's just like the word letting go. The person who is not enlightened will try to let go. So try to like stir with wisdom. But as long as you hold, then you need to let go. If you don't hold, what is there? There is no need to let go. Hold means what? Hold means I grasp. Because to me, I think it's something that interests me. Or something that I know is tormenting me, so I cannot hold. But you justify through the thought, understand? I must let go. Understand? Just like you advise a lot of people. Let go lah. Don't attach lah. Not so real one. But when it comes to your own problem, your own loved one, your own kid, your own spouse, your own whatever things, then you test, you check whether you can do it or not. Like Yun Chan last time used to tell me, to advise other people very easy. Don't attach lah, this is delusion lah, you suffer for nothing. Wow, when it comes to your own children and your own personal problem or experiences, you can say all this, but deep inside there's a lot of attachment. You cannot. Letting go is just the word, understand? Then like the example I used to give to you all, okay lah, let go lah, don't want to think about it lah, lead to suffering only. But the tonation, the tone that you use, indicate that you still hold yourself, you still not happy with him, you still having problem. But because you say, okay lah, let go lah, I don't want to think, I don't want to have anything to do with it lah, I'm not going to allow myself. You say only, before you even go and sleep, again the thought come back. Then in your dream also the thought come back. And this is not letting go. This is verbally you want to let go, but you cannot do it as long as you don't have the understanding. But when you have the understanding, it's the complete reverse. When the form and mind already not deluded by the aggregates of mind, because they see clearly their impermanent characteristics, their suffering characteristics, and empty nature or non-self characteristics, then this mind that is not deluded is incapable of being deceived. Understand? That's why it cannot hold, it cannot cling, it cannot grasp. It cannot like be deluded by it, to hold on to it, to grasp onto it, or to cling onto it. So the mind that understands, which is liberated, cannot hold. When it cannot hold, there is no need to let go. That's why who let go? The deluded one let go. The wise one, they will never have to do anything. Thing is just the way it is. They will tell you. Understand? But the moment you hold, means you don't know it's tormenting you. Understand? Burning you, cause you so much suffering and misery. That's why you hold. Understand? Human beings' problem. Yes. Chui.
Yeah. Maybe the secret in practicing satipatthana in daily
is to see all this delusion, then awaken to it.
So the secret is to make sure the stirring, the word stirring, doesn't even arise anymore.
Finally, when you have the awakening, when you have the awakening, it cannot stir, it cannot arise at all. But before you have that understanding or awakening or the insight, it will stir. You cannot stop it, understand not? That's why they say cut a feeling, impossible. The moment there is contact, feeling will arise. That feeling will immediately condition craving, like or dislike, pleasant or... This is the reaction of mind. This is what I call the mind stir. Because it's no longer at peace. Means it can no longer return to its original state before it stir or react. Understand not? Our true mind, our true nature, got no movement because there is no thought, there is no feeling, there is no emotion, nothing. All these are the aggregates of mind. So when there is wrong view, you input the content with the wrong view, then this content of consciousness, which has delusion, which has the evil root, which has the hindrance, this will stir the mind. Understand now? Like restlessness will make the mind restless. Doubt will make the mind full of doubt, or full of fear, worry, anxiety, which is delusion. Then when there is a lot of desire, craving, attachment, clinging, then this evil root of greed, which is loba, is very strong inside there. Then when there is a lot of suffering, a lot of emotional negativity, a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, or envy and jealousy, this negative state, they will become your content of consciousness. That's why the Buddha's teaching is very clear. The satipatthana, four foundation of mindfulness. When you cultivate that, the Buddha said, when you develop mindfulness of feeling, when feeling has become pleasant or unpleasant feeling, means what? It has stir. Huh? Listen, Chui, listen. Huh? Pleasant and unpleasant means positive and negative feeling. Correct or not? You must be aware, and that's all. Means there is delusion. That's how it stirs. That's why it creates duality. And these are hindrances of mind, and that's all. Sensual desire and ill will. That's why the moment you have this, you cannot meditate. It will hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. Then when you have problem in life, when you confront the First Noble Truth reality without understanding, like old age, sickness and death, separation and all those things, what will happen to you? You will have fear, worry, anxiety. Your mind will become restless. This is another hindrance. So that's why you don't keep your precept, you violate your precept, these mental hindrance, they will arise. Because you don't have the understanding and the wisdom. Like financial problem, you will have worry, anxiety. Then health problem, disease, sickness. Then as you go old age problem, there are many old age problems. Your senses will start to fail you. And many things that you want to do, you cannot do. Then you lost your youth. Your so-called beauty or pleasantness of appearances, they will start to change. And as you age, you become so fragile, so weak, and you are not capable of many things anymore. And because of that, you cannot accept this reality. And the attachment leads to suffering, leads to unhappiness. So all this is the result of delusion. So when there is this delusion, all this hindrance will arise, all this stirring of mind will arise. That's why satipatthana is to help you overcome all this. After feeling, you go to content of consciousness. That's why the Buddha said you have to cultivate mindfulness. When you are in the midst of life, every moment you see something, sense experience, seeing consciousness, the moment you input your content, if the content of consciousness has greed, you must be aware. Remember? If the content of consciousness has anger, hatred, the evil root, you must be aware. If it has delusion, that trigger of fear, worry, anxiety, you must be aware. Aware means what? To tell you, to remind you that your mind has stirred due to wrong view. Because you cannot accept them for what they are. You cannot accept things for what they are. You cannot accept people for what they are. You cannot accept many things that happen in this world. So this stirring of mind, reaction of mind, is the cause of suffering. And this is what attachment is all about. When you stir and react means what? Positive, negative, duality. That's how you get yourself entangled. So upacara samadhi is for you to develop the continuous mindfulness, that samadhi which is collected, the mind which is collected and unwavering, to see clearly at the moment of sense experience, because it does not waver like before, and it does not stir like before. Then you realize you can be at peace. Anasara. This can only come about when you have straightened your view, where you have the ability to see things as they are, accept them for what they are. Otherwise, this mind will still stir. Then you will come to understand, hey, this is what the Buddha Dhamma is all about. This is what Satipatthana is all about. That reminds me of the next book that is coming out. I just finished it today. Now I'm going through one more round. Then after that, I will send out by tomorrow, hopefully. This one is based on our Wu Ping Ching Sir talk on Satipatthana Sutta, the last chapter. And it so happened that last chapter was so beautiful. It explained the final summary of Satipatthana practices. And all this that I share with you today are also inside there. And I describe it in great detail. That's why Ingby that day, I think Chui asked a lot of questions that day. Yeah. That session got 16 questions. I think Chui asked at least 8 to 10. Hey, very good. Her question was very good. She even helped Cheng Hun to ask. Then Alicia also asked. Then Ingby also asked. That session was very, very good, the Satipatthana. Then immediately after the session, Ingby can actually understand that this sutta is so good, this sharing is so good. She straight away put out her hand and volunteered, asked for permission to do the transcript. I said, sadhu, I said, go ahead. It will benefit many, many living beings. So that talk was, I think, given on the April of 19 this year, 2015. And we already got it ready because her transcript was very good. she really listened to it. She must have listened to it many, many times until she understand it so clearly. Then she can actually put it in very accurate words. But exact transcript. So I got a lot of work to do. I learned from Chuyuan. I had to modify all the English, the so-called colloquial English. Still not good. Then I want her to help. She said her eye got a little bit of problem. Who is good at like improving the English from colloquial to written English? You let me know. I will send it to you a copy so that you can help out and at the same time learn. You will learn a lot faster. So when that book come out, it will help the cultivator in a very big way. And I also mentioned about all the other topic that we are going to share after that last class. Well, after that Satipatthana class, Sister Lee, she heard our site here start Diamond Sutta. She also requested for Diamond Sutta. I said, I cannot be teaching Diamond Sutta at two places simultaneously. My nature will never do that. Then after that, don't know what happened, she finally found the book, Six Patria Platform Sutta. Or then suddenly it dawned upon me, this is meant to be. That's why in that last Satipatthana class, I felt many, many things in my nature. My nature also knew. Then it was described there. That's why you must listen to that recording, and later on the transcript come out, it's very beautiful. I already prepare those people who listen to that session about the coming Six Patria Platform Sutta is going to be very, very powerful and very different, and it's going to benefit many, many cultivators and living beings, because it is meant to be. The teaching wants to come out. Then also the Diamond Sutta, also the profoundness and all those things, it was all mentioned inside there. So when it come out, do remember to go and read it up.
It's about the venerable.
Yes.
On the Sunday, she spoke about some social responsibility.
Yeah.
And I felt that, you know, it was very unfair because
give
her that topic, because she's out of this world, so to speak. So I think it'll be very good if one of these days you have a chance to talk about how to be a responsible Buddhist in today's practical social and political environment, because we are facing terrible times. And I think we must stop being passive and apathetic Buddhist. And here I talk about stirring with wisdom.
That one is different.
Yeah, I'm still talking about stirring with wisdom.
That one
and
is
how
different.
Are we going to
that one is
manage
that one
in these
is
terms?
Stirring with the rational understanding of what is to be done. Because the rational mind will have certain type of views about what is right, what is wrong, what is good for the people, for the country, for the economy, and all those things. But actually, we discussed it earlier on at the durian, mini durian party. Did you come or not, you? The mini durian party. Michael brought the durian, the Mao San Wang. Oh, you didn't turn out on that day. Oh, you didn't know about it. You didn't know about it. Many people also didn't turn out. Because that day, he got a supplier, I call it supplier, of this Mao San Wang from his exporter. He is a forwarder, exporter. This plantation owner need him to help export it to China. So he became the forwarder. Then the transporter said, "You want durian or not?" He said, "If you want, let me know where he's going to send to him to export out." So Michael suddenly got excited. He called me out and informed, I think, Padmasuri Day or Thursday class. He said, "I got this supplier," he said, "Mao San Wang." He said, "Do you all want?" Then somebody suggested, we can have a mini durian party. So Thursday suggest Friday the durian come. That day you didn't follow us. You follow us, you will be participating. Then we had a sharing there also. They also talk about this political thing. But it's more about that topic that they give to her. Actually, that topic was a very good topic, but I don't know why it become like that. Embracing what the challenges of what is. No. It's not supposed to end up like that one. She couldn't handle because one thing, I mean, keep it to yourself. Huh? This one is what I saw. She was actually not experienced enough in coming out and give talk. So she has a lot of what they call she was not confident. So that's why you realize all the talk, she write note is one thing. Then she is like, from memory, she prepared the talk. Then she tried to tell you whatever that he has prepared. And he couldn't like feel what the crowd is and all those things. And he couldn't understand many, many things. The energy and all those things. And also cannot relate to what happened. Then use that thing that arise to be part of his sharing or talk. You see, embracing the challenges of what is. What is the reality. So, reality is what the Buddha meant by the way things are. See things as they are. So, all this will not touch. No? So, embracing the challenges of what is, she thought people are more interested in the problem of society. This is also part of what is. But it become like those issues that she brought up, like ordination of nun, how people are against it and all those things, then they got different opinion. But all this to me, if you are a real cultivator, you will not get involved. These are society's problems, society's thing. But if you want to help out as a monastic, then you have to give advice, and how you give advice depends on your understanding and your approach to all these things. So embracing what is a very beautiful topic, but she used the word challenges. So at first I thought she understood that what is not easy to embrace. If you can embrace what is, means you can accept things as they are, the reality. Whatever that arises. But once you put the word challenges, means it's a challenge to embrace what is. So I thought she would talk on that. But she didn't talk on all those things. She talked on something else. Then in the Tuesday sharing also, there's one part you remember that. He could actually, because I had to explain this, that day I explained to Chui. Her cultivation and her tradition is different. There is a Zen tradition from Korea. That's why she is taught that way. A typical Zen approach, the essential Dhamma are not taught on. I explain it now. Because she said she started with Theravada before she was ordained into that one. So because of that, she know a little bit about the essential Dhamma, but not deep. But her tradition is such that Mahayana teaching, they only teach you based on the sutta. Like I explained to Chui that night. I say sutta for enlightened being. You enlighten only, you can understand. So what the teacher gave, the analogy and all those things, is for them to develop the awakening, the realization, means go direct to the true mind, like Hui Ning's teaching. That's why she has been told a lot of these things. That's why in the sharing she said, you have to like she used the word, you have to train your mind until it is so calm, so peaceful, so still. You remember he said there's a place where she sit, meditation mat, sitting mat, and the lying down, all same. very small place, and in Korea, I think, it's very poor, so not much. Then they are taught to, like, when you smell flower, you just smell, you don't think. When you hear or listen to something, you just listen, means to be with the moment. And this is what Zen is all about. This is what the word Kung An. In Mahayana, they give you a question or inquiry. Who is chanting the Buddha's name? Sei Zai Nian Fo. And all that. So you're supposed to like develop inquiry, then develop the silent mind to penetrate and insight into it. So they have been taught this way. So that's why they slow down everything. They are walking there. Then because they are in a retreat condition, that's why they can be in a state of samadhi, like they say. Then they can like be at peace with what is. So these are the teaching that they were told. No? But because of the knowledge, they actually try to become like that. No? They try to live that way. No? That's why smell the flower, just the flower smell, listen, then try to embrace what is. Then at peace with what is. You say at peace with what is. You know? So they are trying to live that way. No? But like I explained to Chui and some of the Kayamita that day, the real thing that happened is the opposite, the other way around. You don't try to live that way. You silence your mind, then you just cultivate. Don't try to know. Develop daily mindfulness, awareness. That mindfulness and awareness, when it's stabilized and mature, that form of mind will understand by itself. It will insight into phenomena. It will awaken. Then after that, you will be transformed. Just like Alicia, they all, song they all. Then once you transform, you become different. Then you automatically become like that. You don't try to live like that. Then like Alicia and song they all used to tell you, last time the mind stir and become heedless and do all those things. Now it cannot do already. It's incapable already. So the actual understanding is not there. That's why they tell you all these things. Then he said, you must meditate until you realize the unborn. Understand? Remember? Mimi thought she has realized the unborn. Mimi also, in a way, didn't listen properly. So in her question, she said, can you teach us how to realize the state which is unborn that you mentioned? She also clarified that, no, she hasn't done it yet. But this is the teaching that they are given. Understand? The unborn is not something you can search, understand? Or you can come to realize, unless you have wisdom and you have your spiritual faculty well trained and stabilized until it becomes spiritual power. The unborn is nibbana, cessation, enlightenment, awakening. It's not a concept, it's not an idea, it's not something you're going to look for when you are in a state of samadhi. Then you look for the unborn. Then you want to realize the unborn. Who won? The thought won. The one thing is a craving. When there is craving, the unborn cannot manifest. It cannot arise. Cessation cannot arise. So all this, they don't understand. That's why you cannot blame them, because they are just the way they are. Based on their understanding, they will share with you whatever that they have been told and learned. And over time, she will develop her own understanding. Then the cultivation is not simple, I can tell you. She has been a few years as a Theravada nun. Oh no, not a nun, I think cultivator. Then, because I think Theravada, they cannot ordain as nun. Then she went to Korea and ordained, then became a nun for 18 years. Then after that, she came back to Australia for many years, I think. All in, I think, 40 over years. And it's not easy, you know. You look at her, still trying very hard, doing all these things. But like she said, in Australia, the people there are more straightforward. They tell you direct one. They don't like Asian, paisei, like that. No, whatever they don't like or they they don't believe in a divinity, will tell you. So she was from that type of culture. That's why today before she went back, Joyce arranged a lunch. Yeah? Then I was there too. Then I wish her a good trip back. Then we had a short discussion. Then I told her, I said, your country is different. I said, your people there is different. I said, they are very direct. I said, here, you ask any question, everybody look at the floor. There, all the hands fly out. Very keen to question. Then she also say some kind words. She said, yeah, you are a great mentor to your student. Oh, I say, not my student. We are Dhamma friends. Kayadamita. I say, no, 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 they need mentor. You are the mentor. I say, there is affinity. There are conditions. Oh, they say, yes, yes, affinity is important too. And I remember that night also. Barbara, you remember? After she explained equanimity, then Barbara asked again, is it, what about daily mindfulness? Oh, then she like, it struck her, yeah, yeah, that one is important. He totally didn't talk about it. Totally missed out on it. But the understanding was not there. Then he tried to relate to their tradition and their teaching. So you can develop your own understanding when you listen, because by now you should have enough understanding. You will not be like before, like everything also. Wow, got Dhamma. You once the Dhamma word come out, you think, wow, the unborn. Then you think she realizes it. You know, you listen attentively, deep into it. Then you will realize, like Chui realized, the explanation is not there. The understanding is not. Otherwise, he won't explain this way. She will approach it differently. She will explain to you differently. You look at my clang talk sharing. Oh. Not only I don't prepare note or what, I make use of the condition there and then, understand? Like what happened at that time and all things. Then how I relate them and use it as part of my talk. Even SJBA also say, you go and listen to the recording. Which means I cannot prepare anything. If I prepare, that is from memory. That is rigid. That it is not understanding. Understanding is no rigidity one. It's from the heart. Condition like that, this thing will come out. Condition like that, this thing, that thing will come out. If there is no condition, nothing comes out. right now, 10:30. So, the condition for the talk to stop, for the sharing to stop. That's why these are the conditions. Sometimes I overtake your, not to say overtake, I over the time limit. English, how to put it? I overshoot the allocated time. Oh, exceed. Yeah, thank you. See, my son helping me. I exceeded the time that we're supposed to end. So all these are the conditions. Because sometimes, like she mentioned that day, she didn't know what time to stop, remember? She came in at 8:30. Then I think after our chanting and everything, then she start until about 9:15 or what. Then he saw some sleepy. So he said, he asked, what time is she supposed to stop? Then after that, they didn't confirm. She continued to talk. And when Chui was about to ask questions, he said, I was trying to kill time. He said, thank you. That's why all these things happen. Because when you need to like recall, then you will have this problem. Because she is like dependent on the crowd. If the crowd is active, participating, oh, then she got a lot of energy. She will talk on. You see, or sleeping, or like, don't have the participation, activity. She also lost her momentum or lost her enthusiasm. So she also influenced by what you all do, or conditioned by what you all do. That's why I think Mimi's son, I think he's very good, boy. Mimi came in before the class start, before the Sunni came. He said, my Chai Chai today don't want to come. But he said, next Tuesday he will come. Then I laugh. I said, sure lah, your Chai Chai sure won't go. Well, last Sunday he was there listening to her talk. That's why I said, he will not come. But today, Tuesday, he will come. Then he told me, he said, one more month before you go UK, you want to make full use of it. It's like that one. Because when he listened, he understand one. He got his path. He got his cultivation one. And you all never know. So young. He went to Cambodia, Mimi said, he read my whole Heart Sutta notes. And he said it was so beautiful. Then Sumeru, the retreat, that weekend, after the first session sharing, he came and talked to me, you know, during the lunch break. He said, oh, they're beautiful, you're sharing. Only these two things people cannot understand. He said, there are two types of mind. First time, you know, can understand so profoundly. You know. He said, if you understand the two types of mind, you got no problem. Right? That is where people cannot penetrate, is it? The true mind and the mundane mind, the condition. Actually, he was so new. You know. That's why I rejoined and said, oh, good. I said, sadhu. Compared to the other one, Kwan San, Sister Kwan San. That one is, he learned something, but he couldn't penetrate the balance. So he was caught in the middle. You remember? Kwan, the son? He told me one, he said, brother, after listening to you, now I realize. Then he contemplated, reflect. He said, wow, suffering everywhere, he said, she can see. Everybody suffer. He also suffer. Then he saw suffering everywhere. Then you know what he concluded? He said, life like no more meaning. Then I look at him. I said, where do you learn this type of Dhamma? I said, the first part, okay. The second part, the Buddha never teach like that. Then he asked me, He said, that is what I learned from you. Suffering is to be understood. Oh, see? Simply quote me. Suffering is to be understood is correct. Understand not? But the Buddha also says, suffering need not be. Understand not? The third number two. When there is wisdom, when you confront them with understanding, suffering need not be. Then why do you say, wow, suffering everywhere? Life like got no meaning. Means you don't understand the Dhamma. Understand not? Life has got no meaning. Life is full of meaning when you understand. When you don't understand, then life has got no meaning. That's what you are going through. You learn half. You never learn the other half. You stop at the first number two. Second number two also, you didn't go in the course of rising or suffering. Then, third number two, suffering need not be. Cessation in the here and the now. Enlightenment, Nibbana, can be realized in the here and the now. Then there is a path that leads to the cessation of all suffering, which is Nibbana. Now, all this, he didn't really go into it. That's why the first part, he got it very, very well done. Suffering is to be understood. The second turning, he developed it very well. After that, he didn't go for the second turning or the second number two, third number two, and the fourth number two. That's why he ended up half-baked. Understand that? Quote me and develop the wrong conclusion. Compare the two. Do you realize? Mimi-san and him. He is older than Mimi-san. No? This one already penetrated so fast. He thought he penetrated. He came and talked to me so confidently. Brother, you are suffering is everywhere. Now I can see, oh, everybody suffer. Oh, life is really no more meaning. So when you don't have the clear, complete understanding, you end up like that. Understand? Oh, we better stop. I exceeded 7 minutes of your time. Okay, let's do our sharing of merits and transfer of merit. So today, no Devan Sutta. Devan Sutta next Tuesday. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana.
May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu ta hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasu sampati heto cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Then we will invoke the aspiration, patana. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Pusian, and all the worthy ones. Afterwards, can some of you come and help to bring the offering over to the dinner table there? Then you all can bring them back, some of them. So you can eat them, have them here, the balance. Help to take it back, because me and my wife, we cannot take that much. So all these are offering from Kayana Mitas Sadhu.